Hey, turn your Bibles with me to Psalms 112. Psalms 112. We're in the middle or towards the end of a four-part series that we've been talking about, living the 112 life in a 9/11 world. Hey, wasn't it exciting to begin the service today with baptisms? And come on now, wasn't it exciting to see new life and change? The only issue that I have with the baptism is that former pastor Deke Dubberly was shorter than me, and the waiters were ordered for him, and it's a little snug, I'm just telling you, up there baptizing. And in fact, when I went over with Josh, I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, we both going under this morning. But it was all exciting, so praise the Lord for that. We began this series a couple of weeks ago and really just trying to set our pace spiritually for 2024 and trying to get our focus in the right place with the Lord. I've used this term metaphorically because in Psalms 112 is really a kind of panoramic view of a person who knows the Lord and what they face in their life. Psalms 111 and Psalms 112 or a Hebrew acrostic, or a Hebrew poetic line, in that each stanza begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But in Psalms 111, he is saying, this is who our God is. And in Psalms 112, he is saying, I'm trying to live out who my God is in my life. So in the first message in the series, we talked about that in order to live the 112 life, the Psalms 112 life, in a 9/11 world. 9/11 world, we're using this metaphorically of a world where things can go chaotic and go wrong at any moment. This world that we live in is a fallen and a broken world, and bad things happen to people who love Jesus and people who don't know Jesus. And so God says, if you're going to live that 112 life that he describes, and really it is the happy life, the joyful life, if you're going to live that in this 9/11 world that we live in, then you got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we looked at really in the first message. It's all about a relationship with the Lord. Last Sunday, I tried, honestly, I don't feel like I did a very good job. It's one of those Sundays I went home and I said to my wife, I said, I'm just being honest. I said, I feel like that message sucked today. And she didn't say it didn't. So I'm assuming it didn't go real good. But anyways, but last Sunday, what I was trying to talk about is that as Christians, God gives us blessings in life, possessions and resources. But the struggle we have is being possessed by our possessions or possessing our possessions for the honor and the glory of God. And that's a struggle we deal with in our lives. But the person that is going to live the joyful life is going to keep their stuff in the right place and Jesus in the right place. But today, I want to try to talk about something that every one of us have dealt with or we are dealing with right now, or we will deal with in our lives. And that is, how do I live a stable faith in a world that is so unstable at times? How do I keep it all in focus? How do I hold it all together in our lives? So if you got your Bibles open to Psalms 112, I want to begin reading in verse 1, and then I'm going to read some selective verses that we'll use today, talking about stable in an unstable world. So it begins where we've already looked at, verse 1. Praise the Lord. And then he says, blessed, and that really means happy. Happy is the man or woman who fears the Lord, who has a relationship with Jesus Christ, and maintains that relationship by being in God's word, who delights in his commandments. His offspring, his children, will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Then verse 4 6 and 7 and 8 are the verses I want to use today if God will be our helper. Look at verse 4. He said, light dawns, catch us now in the darkness, in the darkness. In a fallen, broken world, a 9/11 world, at any moment, our lives can be plunged into darkness. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, all of a sudden, like, things just been going so great, can be plunged into darkness. He said, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. And then he says, and he's talking about God, he is gracious, merciful, and righteous. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes in my walk with the Lord, what I've had a hard time reconciling in my mind at different points in my journey with the Lord, God is gracious, merciful, kind, and all these things. But then I find myself in this dark, dark place. How can God be good and I be in the dark at the same time? I mean, all of us, I think, have at some point have struggled with that. If you say you've never struggled with that, cheer up, it's coming. So, but then in verse 6 he says, for the righteous will never be moved. Wow, that's a strong statement. Never be moved? Is that really what he means? The righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. Verse 7, he is not afraid of bad news. In a fallen, broken world, bad news comes. It can come in the form of a doctor's appointment. It can come in the form of choices we make catching up with us. Bad news comes in the world we live in. And so he says, he is not afraid, verse 7, of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. That's where we all want to be. I want my heart to be firm, trusting in the Lord. But I'm not going to lie to you. There's been moments in my Christian journey when my world's been shaken and my foundation's been shaken that I found myself in that moment not being real firm in my faith. Anyone else? In verse 8, he said his heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. Let's pray together. Father, all of us today struggle sometimes with understanding your justice and your goodness in a world that is often very unjust and not so good. And I just pray today that today, Lord, could be a day of encouragement and grace to people in this room. There may be someone today having a lapse of faith. There may be someone today, Lord, that is struggling in their walk with you. And I just pray that this could be a day of encouragement for them to know how much you love them, that when we doubt you, you don't give up on us. When we don't feel it, you're still there. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to anoint me and guide my words, anoint the hearers today, that all of us in this journey together will grow in you. And if there's someone that does not know Jesus or not really sure all this is true, that they'd at least be open to saying, okay, God, maybe you are real. Maybe you are at work. Maybe you are doing something in my life. And Lord, that this may be a day that you just love on them and draw them to yourself, because you really are the God who is chasing us rebels down. And I thank you and love you for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So in Psalms 112, he's talking about our living stable in a very unstable world. You see, when Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, it was a perfect world. There was no sickness, there was no death, there were no funerals to attend, there were no bad news from the doctor. It was a perfect, perfect world. But when Adam and Eve sinned against God, not only did sin affect them and break them and vice versa break us, because we are the descendants of Adam and Eve, but not only did it break them, it broke this world. The Bible says in the book of Romans that this world is under condemnation. And it's the reason that 9/11s happen, when terrorists will bomb our buildings. It's the reason that earthquakes happen. It's the reason that hurricanes happen. It's the reason that divorces happen. It's the reason that and on you could go, that bad things happen in this life because the world is broken. It's under condemnation. This is not the way God intended it or God wanted it to be. So someone had to pay a price in order to fix what is broken with us and with our world. So Jesus Christ came and Jesus died on the cross and Jesus shed his blood. Every once in a while, someone will say, I don't understand why an innocent person has to suffer. In all reality, there's only one innocent person that ever suffered, and his name is Jesus. The rest of us are guilty. And so Jesus looked down history and saw you. He saw me. He saw the world we live in. And he said, Brian is a rebel. Brian is born in a broken world. I'm going to die for him on the cross and shed my blood so that if he will ask me to forgive him of his sins, I will cleanse him of his sin. I will make him my child, and I'll begin the process of restoring him ultimately to what the Garden of Eden was all about, paradise. But not only that, there is coming a day. The Bible says that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. And one day this world is going to be purged from all the sickness and all the dross and all the wickedness, and God is going to fix it once and for all, and we will live once again in paradise, similar to what Adam and Eve were in, but it'll be total perfection with no bad choices to be made. We're on that journey to that day. The world is groaning for that moment, but in the meantime, how do I live stable in a world that is broken? Now the psalmist made a confession about who God is in Psalms 111 in verse 4. He says, he calls his wondrous works, Psalms 111 verse 4, just one page over. He said, he calls his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful, and he is. He is gracious and merciful. But pain in my life can sometimes obscure the graciousness and the mercy of my God. Is that not true? And so the psalmist in Psalms 112 is saying, he says, here's how you live stable in an unstable world. Now, this is not to say you're not going to have moments your faith is going to be tried. This is not to say there won't be moments you're going to find yourself saying, God, are you really there? Are you really in charge? I believe even believers go through that at certain seasons in their life, and God uses that to draw us close to him, and God never stops loving us. Aren't you glad? So look with me first of all at verse 4, and I want you to see the first truth about living stable in an unstable world. In verse 4, and it is that God meets us in the darkness of our lives. God does not say to us, you know, pull it together, son, pull it together, lady, and when you get out of the darkness, I'm on the other side waiting for you. God says, no, I'll meet you right in the middle of your darkness. I'm right there with you. Look at verse 4. Light dawns where? In the darkness for the upright, for the person who knows Jesus. God doesn't wait for us to get out of the darkness. He meets us in the darkness in our lives. And then the psalmist says, the reason God meets us in the darkness is that he is gracious and merciful and righteous. God is not going to let go of us in the darkness. In Daniel 2, in verse 22, you ought to write that one down. If you're following your notes in your bulletin, you ought to write that one down because I promise you, you'll need it later, sometime in your life. Daniel 2, verse 22 says, he, God, reveals deep and hidden things. But then there's this statement that you're going to need and I'm going to need and I do need in my life. Daniel 2 and verse 22 says, he knows what is in the darkness. I love that so much. He knows what is in the darkness. When I find myself in the darkness, the reason the psalmist says in verse 4, light dawns in the darkness, is God knows what's in the darkness. He knows what you're feeling. He knows the frustration you're going through. By the way, every emotion you will ever have, Jesus had. You may say, yeah, but Jesus never for 1 minute uttered words of doubt for 1 minute that God was there. Well, on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He still believed in God. He's still talking to God. But in that moment, as he bore the sins of the world, he knows the pain you and I know. There is not anything you will face in the darkness, I will face in the darkness, that God does not know because Jesus walked through it for you and I. How do we live stable in an unstable world? God meets us in the darkness. Let's talk about the darkness for a moment. I want to just camp here, if I may, for just a moment, talking about the darkness and the kind of darkness the Bible talks about. Let's have a cup of coffee together at this point this morning and think about the darkness you may be in your life. Before we do that, let me just say this. As much as I don't like it, as much as I would rather not have that happen in my life, I can say today that much of my confidence and faith in God has been chiseled by God in the darkness and not in the light. Now, if you were to ask me, if you were to say, well, you know, God's got two lines. He's got a prosperity line and God's got a poverty line. Brian, which would you choose? I'm going to choose prosperity any day. How about you? I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through darkness and tough times in my life. But the truth of the matter is, God has chiseled out my faith in the moments of darkness when I've cried out to him and said to him, you're not fair, this is not right. And yet he lavished his love on me and I can see it now. So let's talk about the darkness for a moment. God meets us in our spiritual darkness. God meets us in our spiritual darkness. By the way, when Brad and Zach sang that song, Chasing Rebels Down, just so you understand, you're a rebel and so am I. You're a rebel and so am I. And you may say, well, I'm not a rebel. Well, that means you're just a worse rebel than the rest of us because you deny you're a rebel. We're all rebels and God chases us down with his love, grace, and mercy. And God found us in spiritual darkness. And Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, when I trust in Jesus, he transfers me from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. Down in Florida, when I was there, we had Celebrate Recovery. And it met on Friday night at our church. And Celebrate Recovery, we averaged anywhere, depending on the season of the year, from 85 to 120 or 30 men and women that came to Celebrate Recovery. At least once a quarter, I had the opportunity to go and speak with them. One of the things I would always say to them, and this is the God's honest truth, when Jesus found me, he found me in the dark. And I remember what the dark felt like. And I've not forgotten where Jesus has brought me from. And I've said to them many times, I know what that dark place is like. And by the grace of God, I don't ever want to go back there again. And so when the psalmist says God meets us in the darkness, he meets us in our spiritual darkness. By the way, he meets us in our moral darkness. Our moral darkness. There's a man in the Bible called David. And God said, not a prophet, not a pastor, God said he's a man after my own heart. And yet David committed the most atrocious sins that you could ever imagine, and for about a year space of time was out of God's will. So go read later Psalms 51 and Psalms 32, and you see a man that is living with regret and shame and remorse. And he is repenting, but he did not repent until his pastor went to see him, Nathan. His pastor walked in and you know, I can visualize it to this day. Hey, pastor, come on in. And Nathan comes in and Nathan tells him a story. And when he tells him the story, it makes David mad. And David says, you tell me who did this, and I promise you he'll pay back many times over. I'm the king. I'll exact it from him. And that bold but yet loving and gracious prophet of God looked at him and said, thou art the man. You're the man that is messed up. And then in Psalms 51 and 32, David records all of his moral failure in the sight of God. It is raw grace. It is a man that has regret. It is a man that wishes he could go back and relive that section of his life over again. I've been there, I've done that. And yet God in his grace and mercy in the moment of darkness in David's life meets David, and David repents and God forgives him of his sin. Were there consequences? Yes, there always is. But God forgave him. God will meet you in your moral darkness. You may say, Brian, you don't know what I've done. And I've done some things I'm so ashamed of. And I wish I could go back and redo it. And I wish I could make it right, but I can't. I messed up. I failed. And I just want you to understand God loves you. And God wants to meet you in the darkness, your moral darkness, that if you repent. And by the way, church, can I just say a word here? When people repent and turn to Jesus, God doesn't need legalistic Christians to beat them down. He needs believers that give love and grace that'll speak truth into their life, but always loving them and drawing them to the heart of God. Here's something else about, we're having a cup of coffee together about the darkness. You still with me, aren't you? Take another sip, I'm not done. And that is, we're talking about God. How do we live stable in an unstable world? God meets us in the darkness. He meets us in spiritual darkness. God meets us in our moral darkness. He meets us in our emotional darkness. What do you mean by that, Brian? What I mean by that is that Jesus, you know, if you go read John 11 later, I don't have time to go into it. John 11, Jesus gets a text message on his phone, just keeping it relevant. But anyway, he gets this message that his friend Lazarus is dying. And so his apostles say, let's go. He said, nah, we're not going. Waited 2 days and he said, Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, if he's asleep, let's let him rest. He needs to sleep. No. And finally he says to them, Lazarus is dead, guys. You're not tracking with me. You're not getting the hints here. Lazarus is dead. And so they go. Now, Jesus knows a miracle is going to take place. If you read the story, you know Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But listen to me. Martha and Mary, his sisters, could not see what God was going to do. All they could see is their brother was dead, and they were brokenhearted, and they were weeping, and they were crying. And when Jesus got to them, he found them in their brokenness, in the darkest night of their soul. They are burying their brother. And Jesus comes, and the Bible says Jesus meets them in the darkness. Literally, it says Jesus grieved in his spirit. He broke in his spirit. And then that shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And then he says to Mary, and they were saying, Jesus, if you'd been here, this would not have happened. We played that game with God many a times. If you'd have given me that job, I wouldn't have lost the house. If you'd have given me that opportunity, the marriage would have succeeded. If the doctor had been there, he wouldn't have died. We do this over and over again like Mary and Martha. In the moment of our darkness, we replay it, the what ifs, the what ifs, the what ifs. And Jesus meets them in the darkness. And he says to them, your brother's alive, he's going to live. No, he's not. And he says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. I am your hope. In the midst of the darkness, I am your hope. I am your hope. They didn't know a miracle was coming, but what he was saying to them, you don't need to be looking for the miracle first. You need to be seeking the Savior in the midst of your darkness. You may be in a place of darkness today, and I just want to say a word to you this morning. I know you're looking for a miracle and begging God for a miracle, and I pray with you for that, and I believe with you for that, that God will give you a miracle. But in the meantime, don't miss the Savior. Seek Jesus with all your heart and with all your soul. Here's the fourth thing I'd say about God meets us in the darkness, only our spiritual darkness, our moral darkness. But he meets us in the irrational darkness of life. And you may say, what in the world do you mean by that? There's just sometimes things happen in our lives, we don't have a verse to put on it. Are you with me? There's things that happen in our lives sometimes. No one's got the right word to pull you out of it. It is what? It seems so irrational, and you find yourself saying, where is God at? In fact, the psalmist said in that psalm, weeping endures for the night, Psalms 30, but joy comes in the morning. Remember that one? The psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night. I find myself in the night, but God brings joy in the morning. But in verse 7, the psalmist said, you hid your face, and I was dismayed. You didn't answer my prayers. I claimed it in Jesus' name. I believed it. Why did you not come through, God? This makes no sense. And there are times in our lives that makes no sense to us. Makes no sense whatsoever. I sat down with someone the other day, and they're talking about a loved one that had unexpectedly died. And this was a phone call, and I was trying to encourage them and comfort them, and a long distance phone call with them, and they're talking about it, and they're like, this makes no sense at all. And I said to them, I said, and they said, you've never been through that. I said, well, kind of, maybe not what you're going through. I said, my father, on the day after Christmas, went out on a call, an emergency call. My father was killed going to help someone else. And I says, and we found out days later it was a false alarm. And I said to myself, why did my father have to die for someone else's stupidity and prank? And I was angry with God for a long, long time. Wasn't a believer. And you may say, well, Brian, you gave your life to Jesus and God has come into your life. Can you make sense of that moment in your life? No, I can't. I can't. I can't make sense to it. That injustice caused my father to die. It don't make sense. Well, are you mad about it, angry about it? No, I'm not, because I know that Jesus says, you've got to trust me with what you do not understand. It is the irrational darkness in our lives. Here's the second truth. Here's the second truth. And that is, God on this God meet us in the darkness. How to be stable in an unstable world. God develops us through the difficulties of life. He develops us through the difficulties of life. When you read verse 6 and 7, and he makes statements like, the righteous will never be moved. Never? You mean never? And he makes a statement like, he will be remembered forever. By the way, that is not, you know, that is not saying that if someone dies, they'll be remembered forever by everyone else. I mean, That just doesn't happen. It's life. It's just the way it goes. If I were to die tomorrow, you know, my family would probably say, we'll never forget you. But when my wife got the life insurance, it'd be like, hey, we're good. But what does he mean when he says he will be remembered forever? I think he's saying God will never forget you. He's got your name. He knows who you are. He will never forget you. Then verse 7, he says, he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. What is he describing here? Someone that, you know, is like the Christian whose faith is on steroids, you know, like it's all buffed up. No, he's describing a process. When he says, for the righteous will never be moved, what he is saying is when life hits us hard, God is right there in the middle of it. When we doubt, he loves us. When we struggle, he pulls for us. And God is saying, I'm going to help you that as you build your muscles of faith, you will arrive more at the place in your life that you will never be moved. You'll never be moved. It's a process. And then he says, he will be remembered forever. What God is saying here is this, as he is developing our faith and developing us through the struggles of life, that he will never, ever forget us. There's some of you in this room. You could preach this second point better than me because you buried a loved one. You've buried a spouse. And you know as well as I do, even though you know they're in heaven, it still hurts. Amen? And you'll always remember them. And there's seasons and there's times of year that it hurts even more than other times of year. And you may say, Brian, you know, just I know Jesus, I love Jesus, but sometimes it feels so lonely, it feels so hard. What God is saying when he says in verse 6, for the righteous will never be moved, he will be remembered forever. What God is saying is, even when you struggle in your emotions and struggle in your heart and struggle in your life, I want you to understand, I don't forget you. Others may forget to make the phone call. Others may forget to send the card. But God says, I will never, ever forget you. I'll be with you in your grief. I'll be with you in your struggle. I'll be with you in your loneliness. I am a father that will never walk away from you. And that's how God develops us through the difficulties of life. And he says in verse 7, he is not afraid of bad news. No one arrives at that point. That's something God does over a period of time in our lives. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. I know I got to move on, but as I talk about God develops us through difficulties, allow me to use a person in the Bible that we see this. His name is Joseph. Joseph is the youngest son of Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. Joseph is the youngest of that time. There's another one that is born after him. but he's the apple of daddy's eye. So one day, his father sends him with provisions to go to his sons who are with the sheep. And he says, oh, before you go, I bought you this nice Gucci coat, your coat of many colors. I want you to put it on. And he arrives there. That just rubs raw the brothers. And the brothers make a decision that day that they will sell him as a slave, and they will tell daddy he died. Take the coat, put animal blood on it, and that's what they did. And it just about killed daddy. But imagine yourself, you're Joseph. Your own family has betrayed you. Some of you know what that's like. You've been there. And he is his own family, his flesh and blood betray him. So he finds himself in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was a wealthy man. He put Joseph in charge of everything. And Joseph and Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph of rape, sexual rape. He never did it. And Joseph goes to prison for 10 years for a crime he never committed. He's an innocent man in jail. All of his appeals are exhausted. Everyone he asks to help him forgets him, except God. And he's in that prison. And then by the miracle of God, God raises him up. He becomes the second most powerful man in Egypt, next to Pharaoh. A drought, a famine, takes place in his homeland. And his daddy sends his brothers to go look for food. They didn't know it, but the man they deal with is Joseph. And ultimately, long story short, reconciliation takes place. And Joseph is restored to his daddy, brings his daddy down there, takes care of him, brings his brothers, their families, loves on them, and then daddy dies. And if you read the story, just about kills Joseph. I'm sure. At the graveside, Joseph thought about the years he lost with daddy, that they could have had a relationship. And he thought about the what ifs. So the funeral takes place. They all go back home and eat potato salad. And finally, the brothers show up one day, and they say to their brother Joseph, because they think that Joseph has waited for this day to exact judgment on them and destroy them. What they don't understand is that God had been doing something in Joseph this whole time, developing in him, through difficulties, a character that had the ability to forgive. and let it go. So Joseph, they come in, they fall down before him, and they say, hey, daddy's dead. We'll be your slaves. We'll do whatever you want. And in Genesis 50 and verse 19, he says to them, don't fear. He said, as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about, you know, salvation of many people this day. It is the words of forgiveness. Now you think about it, man. Would you forgive that quickly? I'd be like, whoa, bro, let's drag this out. I'm saying human nature. But he forgives, totally and completely forgives. How did this happen? He didn't just get there. There were days alone in a jail cell when he found himself saying, I'm in here for something I did not do. There were moments he wondered how his daddy was doing, if his daddy was dead. He had his faith and his character developed in the hard places of life so that when that moment came, he could say, I forgive. Hey, I want to just say a word about forgiveness. I want you to jot down Matthew 18, verse 21 through 22. And I know I'm bringing it to a close, I promise. But God, how do we live stable in an unstable world? God develops us through the difficulties of life. Matthew 18. Peter comes to Jesus, said, my brother did me wrong. How many times I forgive him? Seven? Seven sounds good to me. Number of perfection in the Bible, seven times. And Jesus says this. He says, no, 70 times seven, 490. What was Jesus really saying? He was saying there's no limit to forgiveness. But I want you to hear what he's really saying. Jesus is saying, listen to me. If you're the person that you keep telling everyone that'll listen to you what someone did to you or you think they did to you, Jesus is saying, if you're still counting and recounting the event, you haven't forgiven them. And Jesus also said, if you got a problem with someone, stop talking to anyone else, go to them and ask forgiveness. So God, Joseph is able to forgive. Here's the last thing, and I bring it to a close. How do we live stable in an unstable world? Because God meets us in the darkness. God develops us through the difficulties and hardships of life, and God promises us deliverance in our lives. He said his heart is steady. He said he will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. It's another way of God saying, I will give you victory through Jesus in your life. I'll give you victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 is in your notes, and probably I think it'll be on the screen as well. I'll close with this today. No matter what happens to us in life, no matter what 2024 is going to be like, in fact, I'm really dreading 2024, this aspect of it, not 2024. I'm dreading the whole political scene. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be mean-spirited. And some of you Christians are going to buy into it. And you're going to divide yourself with other believers. Don't do that. Make sure Jesus is your number one and not your political candidate. And by the way, when we come to church in here, church, this is free commercial right here. When you come to church in here, we're here to worship Jesus, not a political party. But I close with this, and it is that in the difficulties of life, living the 1:12 life in a 9:11 world, 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, Paul says, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it's Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. You got doubt? Tell him. You're hurting? Tell him. Beg him to help you. Stay focused on Jesus. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, here it is. This is Psalms 112. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain in Him. Stay focused on Jesus. There's been some moments in my life as a believer where I found myself angry with God because I didn't think God worked things out the way God should have worked it out. And I've had those moments where I've had to run to Jesus and say to Him, Jesus, I know you're just and you're right and you're good and you don't make mistakes. I just don't understand this. And I know I'm not right to be angry. I know I'm not right to feel the way I feel. But Jesus, I need you to heal my heart. Help me through this. Here's the key. Keep talking to Jesus. You keep talking to Jesus no matter what you're going through. He and you together will walk through it. And He'll bring us out on the other side victorious in Him. So we get ready for a time of response to the Lord. Whether you pray there, Jeffrey, you and the praise team, come on as we get ready for a time of response today. You can pray right where you're at. You can talk to Jesus here at the front. There are people that'll pray with you and for you if we need to do that today. We love you. We want you to know you're not alone. You're not by yourself. God's with you. We're with you. We want to walk with you through these things in life. Father, I come to you this morning and I just pray for a word of encouragement to men and women. Some people, something that has happened to them that it's not fair, it's not right, and there's no way to make it right. It's wrong. What was done to them may have been wrong. But Lord, it's the fallen, broken world we're in, and you tell us that you meet us in the darkness. And if we'll let you, you'll develop our faith through the hardship. And that there is victory on the other side, Jesus, with you, for you, to your glory. If we'll trust you, there is healing. There's healing in you, Lord. There's hope in you. And I pray today for those of us as believers that would just be gut honest and embrace raw grace today. Raw grace that loves us in the darkness and loves us where we are. And would just cry out to you and say, Lord, you got to help me with this. I know I'm not right to feel this way or be this way. You got to help me with this. And then, Father, I pray for someone in this room today that does not know Jesus, that today, maybe the day that where they're seated at right now or later in their car or with someone, they'll pray and just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. That's all you got to do. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I turn from my sin to you. I trust you. Lord, in their own words, you'll meet them where they are. But I also pray today, Lord, that some that may be here for whatever reason today, they've been invited or they came because of something, they maybe don't even know why they're here. They find themselves in a place where they're really wondering, is all this stuff true that this pastor talked about today? Lord, I know you love them, and I ask you to love on them and help them to understand that you're going to love them. If they will allow you to work in your life, you'll reveal yourself. You'll draw them to yourself because you're that kind of God who chases us rebels down and loves us. Lord, this is a hospital of sinners. This is a place of imperfected men and women that are just trying to seek you and love you and turn to you. Lord, let us be humble and obedient and allow you to do your deepest work of grace in our lives today. And we'll give you the glory because you're that kind of God. You don't kick us to the curb. You don't push us out. Lord, you're a God who lifts us up, picks us up, and pulls us home to your heart. We just pray that today there'll be that kind of day for men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing today? Whatever God may be speaking to you about,